Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time we're taking a look at Ikigai.
Ooh, exciting.
It is. And, you know, we've got a bunch of sources on this.
Yeah.
Ikigai, you know, most people have heard of it. It's this sort of Japanese idea of finding your purpose in life.
Right.
But what I found really interesting is that some of our sources had some pretty contrarian takes on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not just about, you know, finding that one perfect job.
I see.
Or, you know, that Venn diagram that everyone always shows.
Right, right.
There's a lot more to it than that, and there are a lot more perspectives on it.
Yeah.
And we even have one source that talks about how a near-death experience
Wow.
led them to you know, start really exploring their own ikigai. So
That's powerful stuff.
yeah, there's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. So tell me more about, like, what is the kind of like the traditional view of ikigai?
So the traditional view is, you know, it's kind of like a Venn diagram. Like, you've got what you love, what you're good at, what the world needs, and what you can get paid for. And the idea is that, like, in the center of that Venn diagram where all those things overlap,
Right.
that's your ikigai.
Right, right.
But what I found really fascinating is that some of our sources suggest it might not be as simple as that.
Okay, yeah.
And that, like, maybe your ikigai isn't just this, like, one thing that you find and then you're set for life.
Uh-huh.
It can evolve. It can change. It
Yeah.
can, you know, be different at different points in your life.
That makes sense. I mean, we change so much throughout our lives, right?
Right, exactly. And, you know, you think about, like, a global pandemic. That's a pretty major life event, and it probably caused a lot of people to kind of reassess,
Yeah.
you know, what's important to them.
Absolutely. Like, what truly matters? Right.
Right, exactly. So it makes that whole concept of ikigai a little bit more, I don't know.
I think so.
Human and less like...
Yeah, less like a rigid, like you said, Venn diagram kind of thing.
Exactly. And one source even describes ikigai as being like a cherry blossom.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's beautiful, it's resilient, it can withstand storms, but it's also delicate and it doesn't last forever.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful imagery.
Yeah, it's a really nice analogy, and it makes you think about, you know, maybe our ikigai is kind of like that too.
Yeah.
It's something that we need to nurture and care for, but it's also something that's going to change and evolve over time.
So if someone is, you know, listening to this and they're thinking, okay, I'm kind of intrigued by this concept of ikigai. I want to maybe start exploring it. What would you say are some practical first steps that they could take?
Well, one source suggests that you just start by asking yourself, like, some really simple questions.
Okay.
Like, what do you enjoy doing? What are you good at? What kind of impact do you want to have on the world?
Those are good questions.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be anything complicated.
Right.
Just start by kind of taking stock of where you are.
Yeah, like a self-assessment almost.
Mm, exactly. And then from there, you can start to kind of connect the dots and see where your passions and your skills and your values align.
So it's not necessarily about finding the perfect answer right away.
You know,
it's more about starting to ask the right questions.
Exactly. And being open to the answers as they come.
That makes sense. I mean, self-discovery is a journey, right?
It is. It's a process. And, you know, one of the things that I found really interesting in these sources is that some of them actually challenge the whole idea that you have to, like, find your one true ikigai.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They suggest that maybe it's okay to have multiple ikigai.
Okay.
Or maybe your ikigai isn't even like a specific thing.
Right.
Maybe it's more of a way of being.
Interesting.
Or a set of values that you live by.
That's a really different way of thinking about it.
Yeah. And it's definitely something that I'm still kind of wrapping my head around.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a really important point because it takes some of the pressure off.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, you don't have to have this, like, perfect answer, you know, figured out right away.
Yeah.
It's okay to explore and experiment and figure out what works for you.
And I imagine that can change and evolve over time, too.
Exactly.
As we were talking about earlier.
And, you know, speaking of evolving, one of the sources talks about how ikigai doesn't necessarily guarantee a stress-free life.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's not like once you find your ikigai, all your problems magically disappear.
Right.
But it can give you a sense of purpose and meaning that can help you navigate those challenges.
Wow.
And it can help you find fulfillment even in the midst of difficult times.
I can see that.
So it's not about, like, avoiding challenges altogether.
Right.
It's about having something that you're passionate about that you can kind of draw on.
Yeah, something to ground you.
Exactly.
When things get tough.
And, you know, another interesting point that one of the sources brings up is that ikigai isn't always about, like, achieving some big goal or accomplishing some great feat.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's about finding joy and meaning in the simple things. like spending time with loved ones, pursuing a hobby, or just appreciating the beauty in everyday life.
Yeah, those little moments of joy can be so powerful.
They really can. And, you know, I think in our culture, we're so focused on achievement and success that we often forget about the importance of just like enjoying the ride and finding those moments of peace and contentment.
Absolutely. And those moments can be just as fulfilling, if not more so, than the big accomplishments.
Exactly.
So it's about finding a balance,
It
I think.
is. And you know, that actually reminds me of a really interesting point that one of the sources made. They said that sometimes focusing too much on external markers of success can actually distract us from finding true fulfillment.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's like when you're so busy chasing after that promotion or that raise
Right.
that you forget about the things that actually matter to you.
You lose sight of what brings you joy.
Exactly. And you know, I think that's a really important thing to remember.
Yeah, it's easy to get caught up in the hustle, right?
It is. And you know, especially in today's world where we're constantly bombarded with messages about, you know, what we should be doing, what success looks like, how much money we should be making. It's easy to get caught up in all of that and lose sight of what's actually important to us.
So how do we kind of filter out that noise and connect with what truly matters?
That's a great question. And I think it really comes down to self-awareness. Like really taking the time to understand your values, your passions, your strengths, and your weaknesses, and figuring out what truly motivates you.
It sounds like it takes a lot of introspection.
It does, and it's not always easy,
Yeah.
but I think it's essential for finding your ikigai.
So it's about tuning out the external noise and tuning into our own inner compass, so to speak, that's
Exactly.
guiding us towards what truly resonates with us.
And you know, speaking of inner compass, one of the sources talks about this really powerful story of a person who had a near-death experience,
Wow.
and it completely changed their perspective on life.
Really?
Yeah, they talk about how they were kind of going through the motions before that. You know, they had a successful career, they had a family, they had all the things that society tells us we're supposed to want, but they weren't truly happy. And then after this near-death experience, they had this like epiphany and they realized that they were wasting their life on things that didn't matter.
Wow, that's a powerful wake-up call.
It was, and it led them on this like whole journey of self-discovery.
And what did they discover?
Well, they discovered that their true passion was for problem-solving, and they were really good at it. And they also discovered that they wanted to use their skills to help others.
That's great.
So they ended up quitting their job and starting their own business.
Wow.
And they became this like sought-after consultant who helped other businesses solve their problems.
That's inspiring.
Yeah, it's a really amazing story. And it really highlights how sometimes these like major life events can kind of shake us out of our complacency.
Yeah, force us to reevaluate our priorities.
Exactly, and make us realize what's truly important.
So this person's near-death experience was like a catalyst for them to really start living in alignment with their ikigai.
Exactly.
And it led them to a career that was both fulfilling and impactful.
And you know, one of the things that they talk about in this source is the importance of first principles thinking.
Oh, I've heard of that, but I'm not entirely sure what it means.
So, first principles thinking is basically about breaking down complex problems to their most fundamental elements and then building up solutions from there.
So it's about getting to the root of the problem, right?
Exactly. And it's a really powerful tool for problem solving and innovation.
I can see how that would be useful in a business context, but how does it relate to finding your ikigai?
Well, this person used first principles thinking to really examine their own beliefs about success and happiness. And they realized that a lot of those beliefs were based on external factors.
Right, like societal expectations or what other people were doing.
Exactly. And so they started to deconstruct those beliefs and rebuild them based on their own values and experiences.
So it's like applying that same critical thinking to our own lives and our understanding of purpose.
Exactly. And I think that's a really important part of the Ikigai journey.
It's about questioning our assumptions and figuring out what truly matters to us.
And, you know, speaking of what truly matters, this source also talks about this really interesting concept of a help others industry.
A help others industry. I've never
Yeah.
heard of that.
Yeah, it's basically the opposite of the self-help industry.
Okay.
So instead of focusing on improving yourself, it's about focusing on helping others.
Interesting.
And they talk about how there are all these amazing organizations and initiatives out there that are dedicated to making a positive impact on the world.
Like what kind of organizations?
Well, they mentioned things like microlending platforms that help entrepreneurs in developing countries,
right,
or organizations that provide education and resources to underprivileged communities.
That's great.
Yeah. And they argue that working in a help others industry can be a really fulfilling way to find your ikigai.
I can see that. It's about using your skills and talents to make a difference in the world.
Exactly.
And contributing to something larger than yourself.
And, you know, I think that's a really powerful message, especially in today's world where there's so much division and uncertainty.
Yeah, finding purpose and helping others can be really grounding.
And it can give you a sense of hope and optimism.
Absolutely. And it's a reminder that we're all connected.
And that our actions can have a ripple effect.
So it's not just about finding our own ikigai, but also about helping others find theirs.
Exactly.
That's beautiful.
Wow.
Welcome back to our deep dive on ikigai.
It's been a fascinating exploration so far.
It really has. And, you know, I think we've just scratched the surface.
Oh, yeah. There's so much more to uncover.
There is. And, you know, we talked about hearing from different experts.
Right, right.
Well, get this. Our sources actually pulled together some amazing quotes from all sorts of people about finding your purpose.
Oh, wow. Like who?
Okay, so we have everyone from the Dalai Lama to Steve Jobs to Brené Brown.
That's quite the lineup. I'm curious to hear what they have to say.
Me too, me too. Well, let's start with the Dalai Lama.
Okay.
He said, "The purpose of our lives is to be happy."
Hmm. That's simple, but powerful.
Right. It really gets to the heart of it.
Yeah, and it makes you think, like, if you're not happy, what's the point of all the striving and achieving?
Exactly. And, you know, that ties back to what we were talking about earlier with ikigai not always being about money or external success.
Right. It's about finding that inner peace and fulfillment.
Absolutely. Now, ready for another one?
Hit me with it.
Okay, this one's from Pablo Picasso.
Ooh, the artist.
Yeah. He said, "The meaning of life is to find your gift. The purpose of life is to give it away."
Wow, that's beautiful.
Right.
And it really speaks to that idea of using your talents to make a positive impact.
It does.
Yeah.
Like, ikigai is not just about self-discovery. It's about contributing to the world around you.
I love that perspective.
Me too. Okay, one more.
Yeah, lay it on me.
This one's from Brené Brown.
Oh, I love her work.
She's amazing. This quote really resonated with me. "True belonging doesn't require you to change who you are. It requires you to be who you are."
Mm-hmm. That's so important.
Right. It's like, in order to find your ikigai, you have to embrace your true self.
You can't try to fit into some mold or be someone you're not.
Exactly. You have to show up authentically.
I think a lot of people struggle with that.
Me too. It's definitely a journey.
It is. It is. Okay, so we've got wisdom from a spiritual leader, an artist, and a researcher. What other perspectives do we have?
Ooh, okay. I've got a good one for you. This one's from Steve Jobs.
Oh, the tech visionary.
The one and only.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Your work is going to fill a large part of your life, and the only way to be truly satisfied is to do what you believe is great work. And the only way to do great work is to love what you do."
That's such a classic Steve Jobs quote, so straight to the point.
Right, and so true.
Yeah, if you're going to be spending a huge chunk of your life working, you might as well be passionate about it.
You know, it's funny because all these quotes, even though they're from such different people, they all seem to be saying the same thing.
Yeah, what's that?
That finding your purpose is about aligning your actions with your values, pursuing what brings you joy, and using your unique gifts to make a positive impact.
I think you nailed it. It's like they're all pointing us in the same direction.
And that direction is ikigai.
Speaking of which, you mentioned earlier that we had some book recommendations.
Oh, yeah. I love a good book recommendation.
Me too. What do we have?
So one that I thought was really interesting is called Finding Your Element.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that one. It's by Ken Robinson, right?
That's the one. He's all about creativity and finding your passion.
I'm intrigued. What's the main takeaway?
So he basically challenges that whole idea of having one true calling.
Okay.
And instead, he encourages people to see their passions and talents as something that can evolve over time.
So it's not about finding that one perfect job.
No, it's more about creating a life that allows you to express yourself fully and try new things.
I like that. It takes the pressure off.
Right. And he's a big advocate for play and experimentation.
That's awesome. We could all use a little more of that in our lives.
Agreed. Okay, another book recommendation.
Yeah, hit me.
All right, this one's a bit different. It's called The Happiness Project.
Hmm, interesting title. What's that one about?
It's actually a memoir by Gretchen Rubin.
Okay.
And it's about her year-long experiment to increase her own happiness.
Wow, a whole year dedicated to happiness. That's impressive.
Right. And what I loved about it is that she tries all sorts of things.
Like what?
Like simplifying her life,
yeah.
Connecting more with people, practicing gratitude, all sorts of things.
So it's not just about, like, you know, thinking happy thoughts.
No, it's about taking action and making changes in your life to support your well-being.
It sounds like she really put in the work.
She did. And I think there are some really valuable lessons in there for anyone who's on a quest for happiness and fulfillment.
And that ties back to Ikigai, right?
It does. Because finding your purpose is often intertwined with finding joy and meaning in your life.
Absolutely. So we've got books about finding our element and boosting our happiness. What else do we have?
Well, those are just a couple of examples.
Okay.
But our sources mention a ton of other great resources, too.
Like what?
Well, they talk about online communities where people can connect and share their Ikigai journeys.
Oh, that's cool. I can see how that would be really supportive.
Right. And they also mention workshops and courses where you can learn more about Ikigai and how to apply it to your life.
So there are all these different avenues for people to explore.
Exactly. And it's really about finding what works for you.
So it sounds like we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive.
We have. We've explored the traditional view of Ikigai. We've looked at some contrarian perspectives. We've heard from experts across different fields. And we've even gotten some book recommendations.
It's been quite the journey.
It really has. And you know what? I think it's time to shift gears a bit.
Okay.
And talk about how all of this relates to the listener.
Yeah. How can people take all of this information and actually apply it to their own lives?
That's a great question. And one that we'll be diving into right after this.
And we are back, ready to wrap up our deep dives into Ikigai.
I am. And, you know, we've covered a lot of ground already.
We have. So now let's figure out how to actually put all of this into practice.
Right. Because what good is all this knowledge if we don't do anything with it?
Exactly. So where do we even begin?
Well, one of our sources suggests starting with a simple question. And it is, what would you do if you couldn't fail?
That's a good one.
It is. It's about tapping into those dreams that we sometimes push aside because we're afraid of failing.
Right. We let fear hold us back.
We do. So this question forces you to imagine a world where failure isn't an option.
And what happens then?
Well, then you can really start to explore what truly excites you, what truly lights you up.
It's about giving yourself permission to dream big.
Exactly. And once you've identified those passions, those things that make you feel truly alive, then you can start taking action.
Okay, so what kind of action are we talking about?
Well, it doesn't have to be anything drastic. Yeah. It could be as simple as taking a class or reading a book or reaching out to someone who's already doing what you want to do.
So it's about taking those small steps, those little nudges in the right direction.
Exactly. And remember, the journey to finding your Ikigai, it's rarely linear.
Meaning?
Meaning, there will be detours, there will be roadblocks, there will be moments of self-doubt.
That's life, right?
It is. But those challenges, they're all part of the process.
It's about embracing the messiness, right. The imperfections.
Exactly. And you know what? One source actually recommends celebrating those small wins along the way.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Because it's so easy to get caught up in what we haven't accomplished yet.
Right. We focus on the destination instead of enjoying the journey.
Exactly. So it's important to acknowledge those little victories, those moments of progress, no matter how small they may seem.
So it's like giving yourself a pat on the back for every step you take.
Exactly. Because those little pats on the back, they can really add up.
They can keep you motivated, especially when things get tough.
Absolutely. And speaking of motivation, one of our sources suggests creating a purpose statement.
What's that?
It's basically a clear and concise articulation of what you're working towards, what your Ikigai is all about.
So it's like having a compass that keeps you pointed in the right direction.
Exactly. It can be so helpful to revisit that purpose statement regularly, especially when you're feeling lost or uncertain.
So it's like a reminder of why you're on this journey.
Exactly. And it can help you stay focused on what truly matters.
And you know, something else that really resonated with me from our sources is that your Ikigai doesn't have to be this big, grand thing.
Right. It's not always about changing the world.
Exactly. It can be as simple as finding joy in your daily routines or nurturing your relationships or pursuing a hobby that brings you peace.
It's about those small things, those moments of meaning that make up our lives.
And you know, another thing that our sources emphasize is the importance of community.
Oh, absolutely.
Finding your tribe, those people who support you, encourage you, challenge you,
and celebrate your successes.
Yes. It's about surrounding yourself with people who lift you up and inspire you to be your best self.
Because Let's face it, this journey of finding your ikigai, it can be challenging at times.
It can, and having that support system can make all the difference.
Absolutely. And don't be afraid to seek out mentors or coaches or therapists who can offer guidance and support along the way.
It's about recognizing that you don't have to do this alone.
And remember, finding your ikigai isn't a destination. It's a journey.
It's an ongoing process of discovery and evolution.
Exactly. And as one of our sources so beautifully put it, the purpose of life, after all, is to live it, to taste experience to the utmost, to reach out eagerly and without fear for newer and richer experience.
I love that. So to all of you listening out there, I hope this deep dive has inspired you to embark on your own ikigai journey.
Yes. Remember, you have unique gifts and talents to share with the world.
Embrace them, nurture them, and let them guide you towards a life filled with purpose, joy, and fulfillment.
Because when you find your ikigai, you don't just change your own life. You have the power to change the world.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into ikigai.
It's been a pleasure.
Until next time, keep diving deep and keep exploring.